He jumped up on the wall and flapped his sheet.
Waiting!
Wait forever, Boneface, said the Duke triumphantly. I shall hover in the twilight world. I shall find some chains to shake. I shall.
He stepped backwards, lost his balance, landed heavily on the wall, and slid. For a moment, the remnant of his right hand scrabbled ineffectually at the stonework, and then it vanished. Death is obviously potentially everywhere at the same time, and in one sense, it is no more true to say that he was on the battlements, picking vaguely at non-existent particles of glowing metal on the edge of his scythe blade, than that he was waist-deep in the foaming, rock-toothed waters in the depths of Loncre Gorge, his calcareous gaze sweeping downwards and stopping abruptly at the point where the torrent ran a few treacherous inches over a bed of angular pebbles. After a while, the Duke sat up, transparent in the phosphorescent waves.
I shall halt the corridors, he said, and whisper under the doors on still nights.
His voice grew fainter, almost lost in the ceaseless roar of the river.
I shall make basket chairs creak most alarmingly. Just you wait and see.
Death grinned at him.
Now you're talking!
It started to rain. Ramtop rain has a curiously penetrative quality, which makes ordinary rain seem almost arid. It poured in torrents over the castle roofs, and somehow seemed to go right through the tiles and fill the great hall with a warm, uncomfortable moistness, like Bognor. The hall was crowded with half the population of Loncre. Outside, the rushing of the rain even drowned out the distant roar of the river. It soaked the stage. The colours ran and mingled in the painted backdrop, and one of the curtains sagged away from its rail and flapped sadly into a puddle. Inside, Granny Weatherwax finished speaking.
You forgot about the crown, whispered Nanny Ogg.
Ah, said Granny. Yes, the crown. It's on his head, do you see? We hid it among the crowns when the actors left, the reason being no one would look for it there. See how it fits him so perfectly.
It was a tribute to Granny's extraordinary powers of persuasion that everyone did see how perfectly it fitted Tom John. In fact, the only one who didn't was Tom John himself, who was aware that it was only his ears that were stopping it becoming a necklace.
Imagine the sensation when he put it on for the first time, she went on. I expect there was an eldritch tingling sensation.
Actually, it felt rather... Tom John began, but no one was listening to him. He shrugged and leaned over to Howl, who was still scribbling busily.
Does eldritch mean uncomfortable? He hissed.
The dwarf looked at him with unfocused eyes.
What?
I said, does eldritch mean uncomfortable?
Eh? Oh. No, I shouldn't think so.
What does it mean, then?
Dunno. Oblong, I think.
Howell's glance returned to his scrawl as though magnetised.
Can you remember what he said after all those tomorrows? I didn't catch the bit after that.
And there wasn't any need for you to tell everyone I was adopted, said Tom John.
That's how it was, you see, said the dwarf vaguely. Best to be honest about these things. Now then, did he actually stab her or just accuse her?
I don't want to be a king, Tom John whispered hoarsely. Everyone says I'll take after Dad.
Funny thing, all this taking after people, said the dwarf vaguely. I mean, if I took after my dad, I'd be 100 feet underground digging rocks, whereas...
His voice died away. He stared at the nib of his pen as though it held an incredible fascination.
Whereas